Welcome to this whole new episode of the Business Coaching Podcast. I'm doing this part in English, for which I first of all want to make my excuses. As you all know, my Dutch listeners know, English is not my native language. But if the why is big enough, the how is easy. And I had the opportunity to interview the Charlene Charlotte. The only thing that she requested was that we did it in English. So I practiced my English for over 24 hours in a row in order to do it at my best at this moment. But as they say in America, I have a cute accent. I don't know if I really like that, so I can see it as a compliment. But it is what it is, and it was the opportunity to have you live on my podcast. So I'm willing to make a complete and utter fool of myself as long as I can have this conversation with you, because I'm very honored to have you on my podcast today.
Well, everyone loves our Dutch accent. It's really a thing of Dutch people, because here in America, I hear it, I think, 6 or 7 times a day. Oh man, your accent is amazing. Where are you from? Yeah, let us take all the shame away.
Okay, well, and before I start with introducing you, which is hardly necessary to my Dutch listeners, because here in Holland, you're almost as famous as our queen. I first want to say thank you to you. I had the honor to meet you about 2.5 years ago at an event where we were both live speakers. And you were before me. And 2.5 years ago, I still had a love-hate relation with Instagram. And I saw your talk, and you talked about Instagram. And within an hour, you made it possible for me to love the medium. I have started to use it very intensely since your talk. And as the topic is selling via Instagram, I dare to say that I sold at least over 3 million by using Instagram. So for that alone, I'm immensely grateful that you opened my eyes during that talk. And I really hope that you can do the same to my listeners and have the same impact on them as you had on me. For everyone that doesn't know Charlene Charlotte, I would say, where have you been? Because she's very famous online. Charlene Charlotte is a 35-year-old entrepreneur and online educator, and pretty awesome at making money, which I think is an understatement. She runs SNEE Academy, which she took from 0 to 7 figures in under 2 years. With her online courses, she's teaching about 18,000 entrepreneurs all about building an online business, creating online courses, productivity, and money and investing. She hosts her own podcast, is a popular speaking, and has been featured in Business Insider and other media. In her Instagram, she shares her daily vlogs of her life as an entrepreneur, her spiritual journey, hiking in Sedona, and business tips, and how you can raise your dog. That should be added to your bio. She's originally from the Netherlands, and now she lives in Sedona, and that's why we'll be doing this podcast in English. Once more, happy to have you on my podcast.
Well, thank you so much for this introduction. And it's really funny, because when I think back of that moment that you saw me speak on stage, that was the first time that I met you. You came up and you started talking, and you were so captivating, and you did such an amazing job, and you know, everyone laughed. And I was like, oh, this is how you give a keynote. This is actually how a good speaker on stage is, because I'm a speaker and I love speaking. But at that stage, I was still in my beginning phases. And I was like, aha, so if you're really good, this is what happens with the audience. So you were a really big inspiration for me too. I was really inspired by your first, you know, you're very straight on. And for everyone who's listening and doesn't know Veronique is a business coach, and we have the same amount of sales in a year approximately. So all the praise that she gave to me, I can give exactly the same praise back. And I know a lot of people who are in your coaching trajectory. Yeah. I'm amazed, and I'm happy that we finally get to talk together.
Okay, cool. Now, let's leave all the compliments aside and talk some business, because I think we have a very interesting topic, and that is selling via Instagram. And I have prepared some questions for you. I even wrote them down on the paper, and I've never done that for a podcast before. First question I want to ask you, as I would like to make clear what the topic is about: what do you see as selling via Instagram? As we sell a lot of things via Instagram, our lifestyle, you sell your life, you sell your products, you sell yourself. What do you see as selling via Instagram?
So when I think of my Instagram account and how I make my stories, I'm basically just documenting what I do. And by documenting what you do and how you live and how I run my business, it gives people an idea of how they can change their life or how they can change their business. So if I say in the camera, oh, I just this morning discovered that I can use this amazing app and now everything goes more smooth. It's just basically me documenting something, but at the same time, people who are viewing that are thinking like, oh, that is smart. I can do that too. And when you have enough of those moments when you watch a story of somebody else, of like, oh, that is a smart insight, you start realizing that person on the other end of the camera is maybe somebody who you can learn from. And that is like a little bit of the long game. So it's not like hard selling, like, hey, buy my programs, run my courses, but it's more they get an idea of who I am. And by showing who I am and how I think and what I use and what my habits are and even the little stupid things, they find a lot of recognition in you. They start trusting you and you start feeling like a friend. And I think as soon as you start feeling like somebody in their network as a friend, whenever you have something that they really want to learn, for instance, my course about how to vlog, how to make stories on Instagram or how to create a course, they trust you already. They know already that you can have life-changing tips. So that the blockage to buying something from you is almost gone already. So that is how I see selling by Instagram, just showing who I am online and then trusting that the people who vibing with me will come to me and buy from me.
Yes. So you first sell you and then you sell your products.
Yeah, and your mindset and your ideas and your habits, you document yourself. Because I think for a lot of people that selling on Instagram sounds so scary and they feel that they have to have a persona. And basically just documenting what you're doing is already enough because that is you. That is how you're showing up as yourself and that will sell.
And maybe I can add the tip that you gave me and which turned my view on Instagram 180 degrees. You gave the example of Kim Kardashian. And that when she posts a photo of her drinking coffee, she gets about 110 million likes. And it's about her drinking coffee. And for me, I think, who is interested in my life? But if the fans of Kim Kardashian are interested in how she drinks her coffee, your people are also interested in how you drink your coffee. And as you now also give the tip, just document what you're doing and how you spend your day. That makes it so much easier.
Right. Often people who are afraid to go online, they have the idea, I have nothing to share. There's nothing interesting about me. But that is such a shame to think like that because everyone has interesting things. And just the example about coffee, like maybe you make your coffee in a unique way, or you have this special brand of coffee that you love, or you have this amazing fun mug you drink of. There's so much to say already about how you drink your coffee that can inspire somebody else to think, oh man, I want to try coffee with oat milk and I don't know, heat it up in the microwave. And then you get questions about that, or then you get a like on that. And then you start realizing, oh, there is something that I have to share. So it doesn't have to start with, if you're really into, I don't know, hormones for women or you're a hormone coach or whatever, you don't have to start preaching into the camera. Just share what your daily life looks like.
Totally agree. Okay. What do you think we should have in place in order to be able to sell via Instagram? And this is a question I've been asked to ask you, do I have to have a special offer? Is there a typical price point, which is the max, if you want to sell on Instagram? So what do you think you should have in place?
So it's always, obviously, the bigger your audience is on Instagram, the more you're going to sell. But how I look at business is always in percentage. So for instance, if I have 50,000 followers on Instagram and I sell a course and 5,000 people are buying that course, that 10% is buying it. So I always think in percentage. So if you have 10 followers and you're able to sell or get an email address from one of those followers, you actually converted 10%. And I think the focus on, oh, I need to have more followers because then I can sell a lot should be, oh, I should get that percentage up. So even if you have 10 followers, try to make two people buy something from you. And that is the same amount of skills you need for that. If you have 2,000 people and you try to convert 2%. So it's way more about the skills than it is really about the results. So for me to say, oh, you have to have a certain amount of followers, that's already not something I would ever say. It is On the other hand, it's nice to have a feed online on your Instagram with at least 9 pictures. So people who are hearing about you, and if they come to your profile, they see, okay, I can follow this person and she talks about this. And that is your personal branding that comes into play there. So what is shown on the pictures? And if you want to sell something about your tree specialist and you want to sell courses about trees, it's really handy if you have some trees on your Instagram. So people know, okay, this girl's talking about trees.
Yes.
I think one of the biggest transformations in the beginning, if you start selling by Instagram, is that you have to see the medium as a promotion channel instead of a personal channel where you get updates from friends or you follow people that you find funny. So I would start curating my followers list first. So that is, I would throw everyone out of my Instagram right now who I would feel ashamed of if I would start vlogging all of a sudden. When I started vlogging, I was afraid of certain people, what they would say or think if they see me vlogging. So instead of just not vlogging because I was so afraid of those opinions, I just literally blocked them. I was like, yeah, okay, they can't see it. I'm just going to start now. So start curating your followers and also start curating who you are following. So instead of following my own friends, I would delete them or I would stop following them. And I would just only follow people who I look up to. And at that time, I wasn't even aware what a business coach was or that you can be a business coach. But I start noticing there were girls online giving tips. So I started to following those girls. And my whole world, when I opened my Instagram back in the days, was all of a sudden not longer my friends and families, but it was all business-like. And then you start thinking in those business ideas more. And about, it sounds really brutal, like unfollow your friends. I think when you have to make a new step in life and it's really hard for you to do, just be open to your friends and say, hey, it's too hard for me to start vlogging now while you're watching, or I'm so addicted to your stories, so I keep going on Instagram and just follow your stories, but I actually want to focus a little bit on something else, so I unfollowed you. Just throw it out in the open, see how they respond. Big chance that they don't really love it or don't understand it. And then you have to have the mindset like, oh, it's okay if you don't understand it, if you don't like everything that I do, we still can be friends, or we just have a little bit of a break in the friendship right now because I need for myself to go this different path.
Yeah. And the thing is, they might have their ego hurt or whatever, but I have to pay my mortgage.
Right. Yeah.
So it can't be that my business won't grow because I don't dare to put a vlog online because I know my neighbor is watching.
Right. Yeah.
So, and do you think everyone is able to sell online via Instagram? Is everyone able to learn how to sell?
It's definitely a skill. So I hear a lot of people, oh, I'm too old for Instagram. So that is just complete bullshit. Did you have that in the beginning?
No, I still have it. I will let you in on a secret. I'm going to be a granny this year.
Ah, congratulations.
And the first thing I thought, now at least I can also show some baby pictures. It's just not my daughter, it's my granddaughter.
There are so many examples of 45, 50-year-old women who are killing it on Instagram. So the only thing that you need to do is get out of the bubble of 20 years old on Instagram and start following a lot of 45 and older women so you understand, oh, wait, it's actually not true that I'm too old. I was just in the wrong environment. So apart from all those things like I'm too old or I am too ugly or I don't have the face for it, I think being on Instagram or selling on Instagram or selling on video, it is all learned. I didn't come out of the womb like being natural on video at all. And I thought, I used to be a journalist and I was writing. So I was always behind the scenes. So I thought I was horrible on camera. And to be honest, the first 2 weeks that I was on camera, I was so afraid. I was trembling looking in the camera. Even one sentence felt really weird. My voice felt weird. And most of the time when I see it with my students, after 2 weeks, you're already used to it. So it's 2 weeks of being uncomfortable. And after the 2 weeks, so it's a skill that you can learn. So whatever story you have right now in your head, like, oh, it's not for me, that is something that you tell yourself. And you just have to ask yourself, is that really the best story for yourself? And if you start seeing it as a skill, and there are several skills in selling online by Instagram that you have learned. One is being natural on camera. And the thing that I try to teach when I teach people about this subject is their expectation is that you know yourself from looking in the mirror, you know yourself in interacting in the real world with people, and you have to know yourself in your online persona. So you really have to create for yourself almost the growth opportunity that, you know, okay, it's not really my tone of voice yet. It's not really how I want to look yet, but I'm growing into the role of that online persona that I'm going to have. So almost understand that in those first 2 weeks of practicing, that you're practicing with different tones of voice or different ways of looking in the camera, at the camera, with different lighting. It's just you fitting into a new online persona. You're never going to be exactly the same as in real life. If you would meet me in real life, I always hear that people are surprised that I'm not on the foreground and I'm so talkative online. And even now in a podcast, in a group, I'm always the silent one.
You're the introvert.
I'm an introvert and I'm this resting bitch face apparently, while on camera I'm always smiling. So there is a big difference in who I am in real life and in online life. And I thought that's really bad and I should be one and the same. But actually when I release that and I don't have to be exactly the same and I can show up online how I show up and I can show up in my life how I can show up, that is fine.
And the thing is, because a lot of people say with you, yeah, but it's easy for you to say as you have a lot of followers. But hear what she said, she's an introvert. She was very uncomfortable at being on camera. And if you see her now, you will never believe it. But don't you think that she's forever grateful that she was available for being uncomfortable for 2 weeks in order to have built this empire? And the other thing is, and which I admire very much with you, Celine, is if most of my listeners start being live on Instagram or putting videos on Instagram, we hardly have any followers. So we can practice in private as no one will ever see us if we have 40 followers on our account. You, on the other hand, made a switch to English and I followed the transition you made and the errors you made on speaking and the vulnerability about maybe I pronounce it not right and everything. But you did it under the blinking eye and skeptical eye of over 50,000 followers.
Yes.
So if you say it's easy for her to say, for Celine it's way more hard than most of us. So she just took every excuse that you have not to show yourself online away. I think that's a good tip already. What is a typical sales strategy for you for selling an online course? So is it something that comes up and you then just launch the next day? Do you set a timeline? Is there a difference if you sell a course of 47 euros or 3,000 euros, as you also have courses that make that investment? Can you take us through the process?
Right. So what I teach in my online course about how to sell on Instagram is one of the most important things, again, the documenting. And you will notice that when I will launch a course, and I usually start 4 weeks before launching a course, I start changing my stories a bit. So for instance, I have a course about money mindset. And when I know that launch is coming up, you will start realizing that all of a sudden in my stories, money pops up way more frequently. And not in a way of, okay, hey, you guys, buy my money course. But I'm standing in front of my house and I'm explaining, oh, the house was 1.4 million and I have a special mortgage and I do it like this and this. And then a day later, I'm talking about how much a dog cost. And a day later, I'm talking about a new crypto coin that I'm investing in. So all of a sudden, the subject of my course is really interwoven almost with my stories. And then the more it's coming towards the beginning of the course, I will start throwing in things like reviews. So all of a sudden, it's not only me telling this is a smart investment strategy I'm using, but also, oh, and I helped, by the way, 6,000 people with this investment strategy in my course. And during those 4 weeks leading towards a course, it's pretty subtle. It's not in your face. Until like the last week, because people need a deadline to buy something. So in the last week, I'm like, all right. And if you're not getting into the course right now, you're missing out. And I really put all the sales techniques to really get people to buy the course and let them know this is an opportunity. You can now really dive deep into it in the last few weeks.
I think that there's a difference between Americans and the Dutch, as we are always, at least many of my clients and followers are always afraid that they are too much, that they scare people off by promoting too much. Whereas the Americans, I mean, I'm on the email list of many big American entrepreneurs, they sent me 8 emails about the closing cards within one day. But you also already did that before you started living in Sedona. So how did you turn your mind around, if it was ever needed, that you're totally okay with saying, okay, this is the last week, I'm going all in, you can unfollow me, I don't care, but I have a course to sell.
I think really believing in your own product. So I 100% believe that if somebody follows my course, that I'm going to change their business or I'm going to change their mindset. And with 18,000 students, I've seen the results in people's lives. So knowing that what I sell is really something I really believe in, that helps, of course. So you have to really like your own product. And I feel good about my prices. That's also another thing that's really important in this. Because I started my online courses with a price of $15. And that is ridiculously low. And it was also a smart strategy to get a lot of people in. But it was also because I wasn't sure if my courses really were that good. So I needed to get confidence first to know that I could sell and that people would be happy with my courses. And when I reached that point that I know, okay, people are really happy with it, my prices are extremely reasonable. My highest price for a course is $3,000. So I know that for a small investment, you get 100 folds of business advices back. I know it is a very smart decision. And so the only thing that I'm busy with when I have to tell myself, okay, there's a promotion coming, you have to promote, is just focus on the end result that I'm going to be able to play in their life. So by doing that, focusing on that, it really helps. And the second thing is, and it sounds maybe a little bit weird, but I'm also always extremely focused on what do I learn from this? So instead of just hoping that I would get money out of it, it's always for me an interesting puzzle or an interesting game of what can I learn this launch period? So now I'm going to try this strategy, or now I'm going to try a webinar. Now I'm adding on this and this. So I make it fun for myself to make it a discovery. What am I good in? What skills do I need to learn? And by that, I don't really care what other people think because I'm learning something here. And the last thing, I think I'm a business coach. So my clientele are business people. And I know that even though if you never want to buy a course from me, I know that there are a lot of other business coaches following me and it's still interesting for them to see how I sell. So by knowing that even if my clientele is not interested, they are still enjoying the content that I give out. And it's even building my brand, like whatever I do online. So that's a little bit where I'm in luck with, that my clientele are entrepreneurs. So they don't mind selling as much as if your clientele is not an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Would you follow the exact same strategy if you would have a private person as a client? And would you also go all in the last week?
Oh, totally. The only thing that I would change is right now I can get away saying a lot of, okay, I made 1.7 million in 2 weeks, or I can, like, my openness about money and about my entrepreneur skills, or that I'm really happy with some certain hacks that I discovered, I can share that with joy because I'm talking to other entrepreneurs. And if I would talk to, like, for instance, I don't know why my team said that I give dog tips, I don't. But if I would have a course how to raise a dog, I would be a little bit more careful with that, because that wouldn't be a point that my clients would be like, oh, great, she made 7 million with her dog courses, now I have to follow her dog course. I would pick out other unique selling points that would do the same.
It's so always, you said, Bella, she was a bit scared and she was a bit dominant, as I remember. Then you learned how to handle her. So if you're now selling dog courses, you can use that as an example. Me as an entrepreneur, I'm inspired by you making money. But me as a dog owner looking for a dog course, am inspired by the way you changed your dog around, by the way you make her collars with buttons and bows. So it's the same thing. You plant the seeds your prospect needs in order to buy.
Totally.
Entrepreneurs, it's about money. And with dog owners, it's about behavior.
Right. And it's always smart to say a lot of numbers. So I always tell everyone, gather as much of numbers and percentages as you can get. For instance, I've helped over 1,000 dog owners, or 80% of all dogs within 1 week are all of a sudden eating well and behaving well. Yes. Because numbers are so important in selling. People trust numbers. So I wouldn't use your sales numbers per se, but people love buying from successful people. And that is also something that not everyone realizes. If you're very successful in whatever you do, and they're always like, ah, I don't want to show it because maybe my clients are being put off that I earn a lot of money. No, show it. Show that you are a successful expert in your fields. You don't have to, like me, like blast your income everywhere, but no. Show at least that you're successful in what you do. We love to see that.
I just read out loud that you have over 18,000 people in your online courses. You sell those courses via Instagram, so it immediately gives you credibility about, okay, she didn't sell 18 courses, not 180, but 18,000. I mean, I won't sell 18,000 courses in a lifetime, but it gives you credibility. And it also brings me to my next question, because I'm always dazzled by your numbers, and I'm doing pretty well myself, but I don't have your numbers. And a lot of people ask me to ask you, you have the credibility of the numbers, but some people have just sold 10 courses or 12. And I always say, don't say things that aren't true. Always keep your integrity and always be ethical. So they say, how do I establish credibility, which is a big part of the selling process, without having big numbers to show for it? What would you give for advice to those people?
Again, you don't have to say, oh, I sold 10 courses, but you can say 80% of the people who did my course loved it. And that's 8 out of 10 people, but it's still 80%. And I totally agree with you, never make numbers up. And that's not only for maybe the fake discovery that people understand that you were lying, but also just your own integrity. You don't have to lie, because there are always numbers that are amazing about you. Even if 50% of your customers come back after one time, bam, you have another number.
And everywhere. If 50% is 1 out of 2, I mean, you're not lying.
No.
The thing I was thinking about when preparing this interview is, of course, there's a lot of things going on Instagram. Algorithm is changing every now and then. I think that TikTok might become more popular than Instagram is. Instagram is now more popular than Facebook. Then a new platform will take over the popularity of Instagram.
Yes.
You depend on Instagram pretty much. What are your concerns, and how do you make sure that your business doesn't fall apart the moment Instagram falls apart?
Well, I just hired 20 people.
Yeah, I saw it.
And TikTok is obviously the same as Reels. So it's short video. So instead of what I'm now really good in, having storytelling in 10 or 20 stories in my Instagram stories, I need to be way better in sharing a story in 5 or 6 seconds. And I've known that for a while, and I've just been a little bit lazy with it. I think I get the hang of it. I'm practicing with the Reels, and when I try to learn something new, I look at people who I really admire or who are doing a really good job. So I think I know how to get there. I've just been a little bit lazy, and literally 2 weeks ago I was like, all right, time for all the shorts now. So in my new content strategy, I want to start doing at least 3 Reels or TikToks or YouTube Shorts, because it's all the same. This is also the reason why this interview is being taped now, because I know I have to be better in short Reels and short, we all started with video on YouTube and 15 minutes or 20 minute vlogs, and then it started to go to Instagram with 15 second vlogs, and now it's going to 5 second vlogs. So instead of trying really arrogantly, thinking I've done it on Instagram and that works for me and it's gonna work forever, of course it's not gonna work forever. Probably Instagram in a couple of years is indeed almost dead. So I know that, and I always try to embrace it. It just depends a little bit on the period in my life that I'm open for embracing new things. Yes. And now I am, and yeah, that's definitely gonna change. My whole focus for the next year is gonna be on Reels and TikTok.
Yeah, cool. What are the 3 biggest mistakes you see people make when trying to sell via Instagram?
A really big one is that they think that people know what you've been doing yesterday or the day before. People are not busy with you in the way you think they are. So people have no idea. And even my best friends don't know exactly what kind of courses I'm selling. They have no idea, because they're not paying attention in that way to me personally and all my little aspects of my life that I find really important. So just knowing that again and again, you have to explain your personal brand, you have to explain your expertise, you have to explain what you're selling. That is one of the things that I see go wrong the most, because then they thought of a fancy name of their course or whatever they're selling. And they're like, oh, the BFOA starts tomorrow. And I have no idea what it is. No. So, and yeah. I think the second one, and that is a big one that a lot of coaches fight me on, and I just keep doing it the way I do it. I always say the price, because I have the mindset that have to be interested in a program of another coach, I need to know approximately what kind of investment I'm thinking about. And some people sell courses that are $100 or $200, and that is a low price offer that is cheap, but they never mention it. If I can buy your course about how to care for my plants and it's only $100, that is one of your unique selling points. You should say that everywhere. A little bit like the Lidl, and that is a cheaper store in the Netherlands, and the Albert Heijn, and that is more of the Whole Foods in America. You have to work with whatever you're competing with other people. So prices is one of the things that I always say in my stories.
The most expensive course I saw you selling is the €3,000, which is approximately $3,000 course. If you would have a program of $10,000 or euros, would you still mention the price in your stories?
Yes. Yeah, I would be interested in your coaching. I can afford a 10K offer. And that is also the clients that I want to attract. I want to attract the people who can afford it. I don't want people to go in debt to afford my courses or sell their life, whatever they have. So if your price is affordable for people, they start thinking of, okay, maybe I will buy it. And if I wouldn't put a price everywhere, my team would have so much work on all the time explaining to people who are not even able to afford it in the next 5 years. And they're like, oh, okay, it's this price actually. So I don't never understand that whole selling technique that you go on a call with somebody and that it takes you 40 minutes to finally hear the price. And then you're like, oh, well, if it's $15,000, that's not what I want. So goodbye. I don't believe in that kind of selling because it just takes too much time and there's so much other ways to sell.
I totally agree. What are the things you will never do in order to sell a course?
Oh, I think a lot. But well, integrity is a really important one for me. I do believe that you can lose your integrity, and I never would like to do that. I think I'm willing to experiment a lot. So every time there's a new channel of marketing, I would love to try it out just to see how it works. But yeah, the only thing I can think of is like I would not lie. I don't want to be too big of a promise. So for instance, my money mindset program, it's $3,000. It's right now only in Dutch. I don't tell people you'll become a millionaire after this program. No. Do I think it is possible? Absolutely. I think because I literally teach all the steps that I did. Do I think it's the best program out there? Also, but I'm not promising them you're going to make a million. And I think what I do promise is you're going to change your relationship with money. And for that, that will lead to more money. So I always try to look at the promises that I can make, but I'm not promise things that I can't really deliver on, because it's always with courses, of course, their own responsibility. Same with my course about that I say, okay, you can make a course in 7 days. It's possible. It's not a huge course. So that's why I dare to promise that. Do I think that most people have a course finished in 7 days? Not at all. That is just a good marketing thing. But I would never lie about it. Like, okay, 100% guarantee you have a course in 7 days. It's up to them.
And I always say, I know what I deliver. And I know that with what I deliver, you are able to do this. But I don't have any influence on your part, this thing. So that's why I can't promise, because I can vouch for myself, but I can't vouch for you. So if I'm not sure what you will do, I can never make a promise.
Right.
Yeah. That doesn't take away that a lot of people are having this and this result, but they stay focused, they watch the course, they implement what I teach them, and then it's possible. So I think it's about the same. Of course, I follow all your stories and I see you selling in stories. And of course, we also have post, and now we also have reels. With the whole thing with Instagram algorithm, if you would start selling a course next week, what would be the percentage of the selling that comes through stories, through reels, and through just the post that you post?
90% would be reels. So if you just start out, you have to be visible. And the chance to become visible is only when you make reels or posts. Carousel posts work too, but the people who see your stories. So there's a big difference in making reels and making posts and making stories. Stories is for nurturing the people you have, the people who follow you, the people who are already in your community, your clients, the people who might be clients, people who know you. So I'm nurturing everyone in stories. With reels or with posts, I'm attracting new people who never heard of me, so they can see my content while they are actually just browsing through Instagram. So it's so much more important to make reels instead of stories in the beginning. At the same time, stories are, for me, way easier and in my comfort zone. So for me to make a story, it's 15 seconds, I don't even think about it. A reel, I have to think a little bit more. I'm sure in a month, a reel is as easy, and it's already started, so I definitely feel that nurturing versus attracting new people, that people should be aware of it, that with stories, you're nurturing what you have. And that's very important. There are skills there too. And you, how many followers did you have, you said? 12,000? 12.7 thousand. And the amount of sales you have through Instagram, that is astonishing and that is amazing. So you do a really good job in nurturing the people who are in your community. And I do that too, of course, because that's why I sell so much. But there is a lot of skill in also attracting new people. And I haven't been growing on Instagram now for a year or 2 years. Wow. For a while, I was getting a little bit lazy in Dutch. And that is one of the reasons why I'm so excited of being in English now. It really forces me to step up my game. I'm in a way bigger pool with a lot of coaches, a lot of amazing storytellers. Americans are, we talked about it a little bit in the beginning, they're amazing in selling. I admire everyone almost here in America in that sense. So I have to step up my game, and that's good because in the last 2 years, I got a little bit lazy. I just nurtured the people who are in my community. My posts on my feed were just me and my dog. It was a mess. So I'm definitely excited to start attracting new people and growing again on the socials.
Yeah. And it's a common thing because I always say the biggest enemy of success is success.
I can see that.
Because it works anyway. If you have big amount of followers, if you put something online, if you try to sell something, even if you don't put a lot of energy into it, a lot of people will buy anyway.
Right. Yeah. It's also the fear or the blockage you might feel that, okay, I've always done it like this and that worked and that gave me success, so I should continue doing this. But then you forget, you stepped out of your comfort zone a while back to get to that success. And that is one of the things that I keep reminding myself of. Indeed, every time I stepped big time out of my comfort zone, huge success followed. So that's why for me now going to America, I'm struggling a little bit. It's not easy. My ego is completely crushed because I have to build up everything again. Nobody heard of me. Nobody wants me in their podcast. No. So it's like, okay, starting from zero again. And at the same time, I know that stepping out of my comfort zone is going to bring me so much more. So I'm just focused on the future. And I know this will open up new doors for me. And I'm already learning so much new stuff. I don't think I've heard anyone telling me I stepped out of my comfort zone and I regret it. You always learn something from it.
No. Totally agree. Jim Rohn always says, get comfortable at being uncomfortable.
Right. Yeah.
What is the golden nugget to keep people engaged in your stories? Is there a maximum amount of, I don't even know what a separate story is called?
I live by the rule of three. Like when I talk in the camera and I call that talking stories. It's just me talking in the camera, explaining something. After three stories, people get bored and they swipe away to a next story. So you have to have a lot of different scenes almost in your story. So after three times of a story of me talking in the camera, you'll see that I'm all of a sudden walking back and forth in my living room, or I'm filming Bella, my dog, or I'm filming a little piece of a tree outside. So it's just for the dopamine hit for people who are watching your stories, that they're every time a little bit like, oh, what's coming next? And if they know when they open your stories that you're always talking into the camera, or if they're always going to see your dog, the surprise goes away. And you want to keep people always surprised. So that is one of the things that I really try to embrace with nurturing my community. You never know when you open my stories what it's about. Sometimes it's about my dog. Sometimes it's about business. Then it's about me in my pajamas. Then it's me, you know.
Cooking, it's not wearing a princess dress.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
You know, I really follow you.
Well, that is really flattering. But I think that is just the surprise element instead of what a lot of people think, the consistency. Because you hear all the time, be consistent and post at the same times and post about the same subjects. be more surprising, because it's very boring that they always, when they already, before they click on your head to view your search, if they already know what's about, they're probably maybe not in the mood at that moment. They're like, oh no, not business tips. No, it's not against Lima business tips. So I want somebody else. But if they know that I'm also talking about a dog, maybe, then they open your story.
And the thing is, we talked a little before we started the podcast, and then what did we discuss? We talked about your Christmas tree and
about perfectionism. You were like, how can you be so, how can you be so freaked out about certain things and other things you just let go?
I always admire you, because it doesn't matter what you look like. For me, my ego is getting into the way every now and then. But how did you leave that behind? What did you have to overcome in order to get your ego totally out of the way?
Well, for instance, that I appear indeed in my pajamas and showered in the morning. I will appear on my stories. I think that is just an almost, maybe, how we call it in Dutch, an elephant skin that that I had to have because of the amount of hate that you get. And obviously, whenever you start being more in the spotlight, you get more haters. And it doesn't matter if I dress up really pretty, if I feel really good about myself, or if I look really shit, the amount of hate will be the same. So I start realizing that it doesn't matter how I show up, people will have opinions anyway. I just better just show up whenever I want and whenever I'm inspired to. Maybe one of my philosophies that sounds a little bit weird, but it's, I do most of the things for me. I'm vlogging because I have fun in it. I have my business because I want to have fun in it. And it's not for the opinions of other people. It's definitely, I think money is extremely helpful in life, so I want to make money. But it's, in the end, I want to direct my life and design my life that I have the most fun. So I'm not thinking of what would other people think of this. And obviously, it's to a certain degree, because I'm strategic and I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But my first and foremost client of my life is myself. So if I want to have fun in my pajamas vlogging, I will do that. But the perfectionism, it also helps that I know that it's very annoying to look at perfect people. So already a lot of people find me very obnoxious. And I think I get tagged like twice a day. Oh my God, I'm so annoyed by Celine Charlotte. So I know already I trigger a lot of people out there.
Yes.
And just by showing only the perfect side of me and always like perfect in makeup, that's boring as hell. So,
and the stupid thing you just make me realize is, sometimes I have a good idea about a story, but then I first have to make some pictures of myself, and I'm just being completely honest here. And then my hair looks weird, or the lighting is all wrong, or I see that I have a pimple somewhere on my face. And because I can't shoot the first shot of me, I don't post the whole story.
Right.
And because I think I look awful. And now I just come to realize that I like you most when you're messy in your pajama, because I see you're just as ordinary as I am. And if I like to watch you in pajama, maybe my followers, and I'm not making any promises for my Dutch listeners, but maybe they would like to see me in my pajamas too, and with messy hair.
Right. When I teach this in my course about how to make stories and how to show up, there's always this, again, this little line of, there's a difference between me being completely frumpled in a dark room, not having light on my face, and just looking like literally not at all thinking about how I look at a camera, or me, even though if I'm in my pajamas, I open the curtain, I make sure that there's light on my face, or, and that's one of the hacks that I love lately, when I have oily hair, I just put a cap on.
Yep.
It looks a little bit better. It's not at all that I look all of a sudden fancy. I just make these little tweaks.
I was listening to Bas Smit, and I think you know Bas Smit because he's also from Amsterdam, and I always thought he just did something on Instagram, because you see him in a bathtub with a duck and does the most hilarious things. But what I didn't realize until I heard an interview with him, he's evaluating the way people go through his stories meticulously. So he keeps a track of everything. So when he finds out that he loses too many people within the next page of the story, he takes that page out. So he knows exactly what kind of stories works best for him, and he uses more of those. Is that also the way you use story strategically on into that detail, or is it more in general? You know that this works, this works, but you don't track numbers.
No, I track numbers in the way that I can see like 1% of my viewers. So I have 50,000 followers and 25,000 watch my stories. And that's 50% of the people who follow me are watching my stories. And I know that's a really high percentage.
Very high percentage.
Yeah. So if you're now comparing yourself to me, know that for most people, it's 10%. I did come to that percentage by indeed view what works and what doesn't. And if I lose more than 1% of my viewers going to the next story, I know, oh, this is not really going to be a popular thing. The only difference that I then do, if I hear your example, is I don't care anymore. Okay. So I'm like, okay, but I want to talk now about feminism and I know I'm going to lose people, but I'm going to make like 10 stories about this subject.
Because this is for me and not for them.
Right, right. And also this is something that I right now find important. My stories where I'm very clearly selling are obviously I lose more than 1%. I sometimes lose 4% or 5% of the people when they noticing, oh, she's going on a selling rant right now. And I'm still going to do that because I need to sell something. So that is a bit of the difference. If I would be an influencer that would make money by promoting products of other companies, I would only make content that would work really well because the more followers I have, the more money I make. I, of course, make my money by people trusting my opinion and my expertise. So sometimes I make stories, business tip stories are not the most popular stories at all, but I have to put them in there and I love putting them in there because that is what makes me money. But then if I make stories about my dog, they're the most popular ever. Like everyone keeps watching about the dog. I don't want to be a dog influencer.
It still amazes me because sometimes I share tips and of course I'm also a business coach. And I think if you would follow up on this tip, you could make 5,000 euros within a day. Oh. And I even lose people on that page. Yeah. And if I have a very fat cat and she's called Beep, she's always laying upside down with her paws in the air. Yeah. And if I put a story up on about with Beep in it, I hardly lose any viewer. And it never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest things is that people don't come to Instagram to receive business tips. Most people don't. They come to Instagram to get entertained. And I'm not really that funny. So what I put in is basically just documenting whatever I do in my life. So you see me meal prepping. I think a lot of people like to follow me also for the different ways that I organize my life. And it's not really business tips, but it's just me showing how I do my life. So if you think of that, that you always have to give that entertainment value in a way, and if it's documenting or whatever form you choose, then people will be more inclined to like following you. So yeah, I love business tips, but I'm also not always in the mood to listen to that. Especially in the evening, you're browsing through Instagram. And even though, okay, this is going to be very valuable, you're still like, ah, maybe I look at it later.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, because I was taught social media is social. So you should never sell in there. So when I saw people selling on social media, at first I was confused because I said, but this was supposed to be a social platform. I know now that it can be a combination of both, but you have to put in the infotainment in order to be able to sell in the end.
Right. And of course, and you know this, but just for people listening, people love buying. And that is something I always keep in mind too. I like buying stuff. If I get convinced by somebody who I follow on Instagram to buy their product or their course or whatever it is, the result is I'm going to be happier because now I have that course, I have that product in my life. So by understanding that selling is not by definition something bad or you're trying to money out of the pockets of people, you're giving value by offering whatever you have to offer. And the better your product or course is and the more people love that, the more lives you see change and the more you start believing that yourself too, I think.
Yeah. What is the biggest factor that contributes to your success, being camera shy at first, being an introvert, and now making millions via Instagram? What do you think that attributed to that the most?
I think about a lot of people can relate to me in certain subjects because I'm pretty vulnerable and I talk about a range of objects. My podcast is very popular in the Netherlands. And in those podcasts, I'm so open about so many different subjects that as soon as they start relating to me and as soon as they hear that I am going through the same struggles and yet I overcame them in a way that they might want to have too. I think just relating works really well. And because I am so open and so vulnerable and I have so much content out there, I give people a lot of little hooks to relate to me. Yep. So maybe you relate to me because you have a dog, or maybe you relate to me because you're single, or maybe you relate to me because you're struggling with something that I'm openly struggling with. My life is never, and nobody's life is ever resolved, of course, but I will always find new things to struggle with. So right now I'm struggling with building my business again from the ground up. So yeah. If there's always something that they feel like, oh man, I relate to this, I think one of the factors that really work well. And I think people underestimate how much research I do. Even when starting a podcast, I will listen to 70 podcasts in a week just to make sure that when I have a podcast that I know a little bit what the structure is. So the amount of work I put in, at least 4 or 5 hours a day, I put into researching strategics of other people or reading books. And now I'm in a phase of reading 2 hours a day again, listening to 2 hours of podcasts a day. I'm researching all the time, and that teaches you so much. So yep. I think that's also just a big factor to my success.
What is the inspiration for the content you put out? Of course, it's your daily life. It's the books you read, the things you research. But then how do you come up with a hook to the things you are learning and you are reading are not per definition interesting to us? So how do you make...
But they are, though. They are, I think. Oh, okay. Because, yeah, even, for instance, now I'm sitting in this brand new studio. So I have 2 big lights on me now. Yeah. I have the heating too high. My whole eyes are all rosy. So I've learned that already, not putting the heating so much on. This new camera, yeah. New mic. So that is, for me, now up-leveling my tech and my gear. But for a lot of people on my Instagram, that would be interesting to know, what kind of lights does Celine have? So I'm learning about lights, and I'm already sharing that. And I think in the end, you learn a new app that I discover or a new strategy. It's not that learning how to run a good business is that you go from A to Z in a certain order, right? So for instance, A is you learn how to make a website. B is you learn how to make social media, blah, 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 until you're finally somewhere halfway the alphabet and you're like, okay, now you sell for $1 million. It's all cyclical, and you can sell for $1 million without having a website or without knowing anything about social media. So we all go through phases in our life that we rediscover certain skills that we're not really good in. So I might now rediscover certain things about what I would say I'm pretty good in, like storytelling. I might rediscover new things when I read new books, and that is immediately applicable for people who are just at the beginning of the storytelling stage. So if I just look at our lives and our businesses as an infinite amount of skills that you can discover, every little thing that I learn in my skill, that's already for everyone else, I think, applicable in their life.
Wow. Yeah, completely. As a final question, I learned the quote, if you're living your dream, it's no longer your dream. And having followed you and your trip to Sedona, the search for a house, the home you finally have made for yourself, what is your next big dream? Both so personal I know, and
right.
business-wise.
So I never share that. And let me explain it, because it sounds really harsh.
No, because that's interesting too.
Because this is a question, obviously, that I get asked all the time. There are a couple of reasons why I don't really talk about my big plans. Well, obviously, for now, my big plan is to be so comfortable in English and be more well-known in America. So that is one of the things that I am open about. Even with that, I sometimes wish that I didn't really talk about it so much, but I kind of have to, because it's such a big switch, right? All of a sudden I'm in English, everyone's like, what is she doing? So I had to tell them. But what happens is a couple of things. One, I lose my own enthusiasm often when I share too much. So when I, for instance, now think about a new course I want to create, and I'm going to tell you all about it, when the moment is there that I'm really going to create it, I already feel that everyone knows about it. It's already out there. I already put it almost in existence by just talking about it. So I notice that whenever I talk about my dreams, I lose a little bit of that enthusiasm for my own dreams. Second thing that happens is people are starting to give feedback. And you have, of course, two big sides of that. One side is like people criticizing or coming with, like, oh, would you do that? And their own fears and their own doubts about it. And you have to start defending your very small, beautiful dream you have. You all of a sudden are defending it because people are giving the criticism. There's another group of people who actually are very encouraging and they're trying to help you. They're like, oh, that is a great idea. And they start giving tips. And then all of a sudden, your small idea is something that you realize is already out there. Other people are doing it. You start comparing yourself. So it gives the opportunity by sharing a lot of my dreams. I noticed that it runs away from me. And then when I keep it more to myself, that is just, it feels more sacred and I'm more enthusiastic by doing it. And the third thing is, I also change my plan all the time. Like,
okay,
all the time. So sometimes when I made this mistake in the beginning years of when I started to get a little bit more well known and I start sharing things and people will come back like, oh, you didn't do this or you didn't make that course, you didn't do that thing.
Because they remember everything.
Right. And so I'm changing plans all the time. But in the eyes of an audience, it seems, oh, she's not reliable. She's changing her mind. Certain dreams I have to tell because people are noticing what I'm doing. But most of it, it's just me with my own dreams. And I just love to just surprise people and they'll notice what I'm doing.
Wow. Good thing. Yeah. And in the end, because I've been thinking about you and going international, this podcast, because it's a tip, I suddenly realized that I have some people that I know very well in the US that if I asked them, they would gladly have you on their podcast.
I would love that. And that's the other thing, because when I don't share things, people can't help you either. And that is always a little bit of the, do I need help? And I think that's also a thing that I'm still learning, because I sometimes have fighter mindset of I need to do it all by myself. And it comes from my youth. We all have our things and traumas, but my mindset is often I have to do it all by myself and I'm going to fight for it, while I'm opening myself up and learning a lot about, okay, teamwork is actually pretty fun and building your network and amazing relationship can help you so much. Yeah. So I would actually love that if you can make suggestions. And that is indeed also, just to make my point a little bit clearer what I said before, know when the time is to tell about your plans and know when to add people to your plan. But in my opinion, most people share it a little bit too soon before they have their own energy around the plan. But definitely sharing it eventually and knowing when to get people around you who can help you, that's very valuable. And I'm still learning that lesson.
Yeah.
But thank you for the suggestion. Really appreciate it.
No, there are really a lot of names that are popping up right now. And maybe if some of my listeners have a network in the US, which would be interesting for her to be a guest on their podcast, please mail me or contact Celine's team. I do it the totally opposite way. From the moment I started, I had one big dream I didn't even dare to believe. But by sharing it and holding on to it, and it took me 10 years, but now I'm on the point of realizing that dream. And the beautiful thing about this is it works both ways.
Right.
Everything works as long as it works for you.
And that is also in business, of course, and you know that as well as I, but everyone has their own personality. And if you just blindly follow the advice of the person you bought the course from, like I tell my students all the time, if one of my advices don't really resonate with you or you feel like weird about it, trust that and go the other way. Do maybe exactly the opposite even what I'm saying, because you're just discovering your own style of being a business entrepreneur. So if you get the feedback on your dreams and you notice, oh, it actually makes me not want to proceed with the dream, then maybe my strategy would be better. But if you try the strategy of just telling, having great feedback on that, and you love it, and you're like, oh, this works amazing, then you start understanding what kind of person you are and what works for you in this phase of your life.
But I'm also realizing I haven't been open to feedback. It is just my dream, and the feeling is so strong that I just now realized I never listened to anyone saying to me that it might not be a good idea.
But that's amazing that you can do that. And a lot of people are not there yet in a self-development or their confidence in themselves, right? You have to be pretty strong to be able to hear feedback and just think, oh, that's not for me. That's okay. I'm not going to listen to you. And that is, for most people, just really hard still. And even for me, that's sometimes really hard, because then I think like, oh, I'm not going to listen to that voice. And a couple weeks later, I'm like, oh man, that voice is in my head now. So
yeah, interesting. Okay. Thank you so, so, so much for this interview. I think you shared some very golden nuggets. It has been an honor to have you as my guest. You inspired me once more. All the luck with all the dreams, whatever they are.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it too. It was really fun.
I think it was interesting until the end. So thank you so much. You can follow Celine Charlotte, of course, on her Instagram account.
Yeah. Okay. And where can we follow you?
Yeah, it's for your English listeners. It's a bit hard because I have an unpronounceable name in English. And I'm also doing a rebranding and I'm changing my name. So as I'm also doing my content in Dutch for your English listeners, it might not be that interesting. But I'm Je Zaak Voor Elkaar. And my name is Veronique Prins. So that's where they can find me on Instagram.
And do we already know what your new name is going to be? Or did you already reveal that?
No, I didn't. But it isn't that hard. It's going to be my own name.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So I had Je Zaak Voor Elkaar when I started. But people are always talking about Veronique and never about Je Zaak Voor Elkaar. So it's just logical that I change my name.
It's time to get your personal brand completely took off. And now, that's really smart.
Yes. With a website and everything. I had a discussion with a very big entrepreneur in Holland. And while I was talking to him, he looked at my website and he said, "Is this really your website?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "And how much are you making?" And he said, "With this website?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "It's really time to change, girl." I know, but it still worked.
There you go. Well, that's it, right? So it's hard to change sometimes, but it will work 10 times as
now. I know, but now I'm doing a rebranding and it should be finished at the end of March. But it's a hell of a job, but I'm really looking forward to it because me and my business will be going into a next phase with this new branding and everything. So I also have something to be very excited about.
Oh, that is good. Well, I'm really curious now. That's
me
cool.
Too.
I'm
gonna... Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Bye-bye.